This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
How old are you, son?
4.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy. Hello.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and my calendar is blowing up. First, it's Phileas Fogg's Win a Wager Day. More on that later. B, it's the first official day of winter. Yeah, right, tell that to Joe's mom's heater. And 3, it's OG's birthday. On today's show, we'll celebrate all of the above by talking about your budget. These guys really have to learn how to party. Joining us to dive in, we welcome from Afford Anything, Paula Pant. And from this podcast, the birthday boy himself, OG. And from LenPenzo.com, it's Krusty the Clown. Just kidding. He was working another birthday party. So for today's event, we just have Len Penzo. But I love him. Hey, but that's not all. We'll talk to Laron Amrani from Debitize about how to use your credit cards like debit cards. And still, leave time for my exciting trivia. And now, because OG's birthday is a great day to have a podcast, here he is. Joe Salsiha.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Stacking Benjamin Show. I am Joe Salsiha, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and we have a very special edition to the show today because we are doing it live in front of a Facebook audience, which makes me very nervous. And another person who makes me slightly nervous in the desert, it's Paula Pant.
I'm here. And after about half an hour, my microphone is, I'm assuming, working. And I will have you know that I showered specifically for this occasion. I did.
Once a week, true, folks.
True story. Joe sent me an email and said that we were going to do this live on Facebook. And this is 20 minutes before the recording. And I was like, okay, I've got 20 minutes to shower, put on some makeup, and go.
And it was funny because Paula told me she was going to go put on makeup, and another guy who I'm sure put on makeup for this, it's Mr. Len Penzo.
You know, Joe, I've just got to say, first off, I'm in love with Doug. I've got a man crush on him. Number two, I haven't showered in a month. And thanks for the warning. By the way, I didn't get the warning at all, Joe. So this is how I am. I would have dressed up if I knew we were going to be live.
If you'd read your emails. You don't read your emails. Why don't you read your emails?
You know what? I've talked about this before. People have declared email bankruptcy where they just had so many emails and they just throw them all out the window and start from scratch. I probably need to do that.
Well, we saved the best for last, guys, because sitting here across the card table from me is the one and only birthday boy himself, Mr. OG.
39 again.
How about for what? The fourth time?
Come on now.
Yeah, you're not old,
not
like...
Not 11th like you.
Nice. Not old like Led and I. Right.
But not a spring chicken like Miss Paula there.
Hey, Paula, you know what never gets old?
Oh, I'm going to guess Magnify Money.
A trip to MagnifyMoney.com. Because you know, Len, you can make $450 just by heading to Magnify Money. Well, you don't make $450. You save $450 because they have the best of everything there, whether it's checking accounts, savings accounts, those credit cards you use every day, whether you're looking to play the points game. We're going to talk to Laron Amrani today on the show, and he'll talk about the points game with us. And if you're somebody that needs to get rid of
credit card debt. You don't want to play the points game. You just want to get less interest to the man. Head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. Even student loans, they handle. I heard, Paula, there's a student loan crisis in this country. I don't know if you've heard that before.
That's what all the headlines are telling me, Joe.
Somebody. I bet that's made up, OG.
It's crisey. Anyway, that's the plural.
Crisey. Crisi. Right.
Chrysorum.
Chrysaurus. Also, we'd like you to check out the Safe for Work podcast. How can you live a better life when you're working all the time? From Wondery, come Safe for Work, a podcast that's all about helping you find balance and happiness in your work life. Get advice on everything from how to avoid burnout on the job to how to fake an illness when you're calling in sick. Go subscribe to Safe for Work to get helpful career advice that's lively and fun. We got a great show today. We got Laurent Amrani today. We've got a great headline. We are live on Facebook recording this. And if you missed it, you should hang out with us on Facebook. Just saying. Facebook.com/iStackBenjamins if you want to hang out with us. We got all that. Thank you.
Nice plug.
That was actually a decent. See, we don't need to shine a spotlight every time I make a decent transition. We could just we could have let it go. It would have been fine. We got a great show, so let's get this party started.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
Our headline today comes to us from Rockstar Finance. This is actually written by Val Bright from the CommonSenseClub.com. It's called Selling Your Crap to Get Out of Debt's Fine, but I wish I'd done this instead. So I initially clicked on it when I had to find out exactly what this is. This in air quotes. And I was very pleasantly surprised by what Val had to say. So the piece starts off with Val graduating from college about 6 years ago. And she said she'd used student loans to pay for almost all of her college expenses. And now it was time to pay it back with interest. Actually, the day I saw how much the interest was going to cost to repay over the life of my loan was the day I decided I was going to attack it like a maniac. And then she goes into it. And I just want to take this piece a little bit at a time, guys. She starts off with common get out of debt advice I ignored. She said they were both smart and inspirational, but some of the principles didn't jive with me, especially number one, the $1,000 emergency fund. She thought she needed more. Paula, what do you think about that? $1,000 emergency fund, or do most people need more?
I think the fact that she believes that she needs more than $1,000 for an emergency fund is very wise, particularly given she's trying to pay off student loans, which presumably would have a much lower interest rate than, say, high interest credit card debt. She's probably not competing against emergency fund versus double digit credit card loans, you know. And so in the context of student loans, there's absolutely nothing wrong with saving an emergency fund that is 3 months worth of your living expenses.
Len, she also said she didn't like the cash envelope system. She said she barely uses cash. Seems like the cash envelope system was good in the past, but most people use plastic now.
Yeah, nobody uses cash. It's not like the old days where, you know, we were kids and even younger. I mean, you had cash all the time. Cash envelopes to me, though, even when I was using cash, that never really appealed to me. It was just too much effort. I always just preferred to manage my money via spreadsheet or paper. But
does it worry you, Len, all those statistics that say that if you use plastic versus cash, you end up spending a bunch more money?
Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you have the cash and the cash is gone from your wallet, you're done. But it's real easy for a lot of people who don't have the self-restraint. If you got that plastic, you don't have that holdback or that feedback mechanism, and you can easily end up overspending. So
I like how Len said that it's way easier to manage his money instead of an envelope to use a spreadsheet.
You know what? I'm a freaking engineer,
hold
man.
On a second. How things work. I would like to, before I go to the grocery store,
take out my spreadsheet.
I can't just look in the envelope to see how much money I can spend at the pizza parlor today, but I could do a regression analysis to tell you the standard deviation of how much pizza I should eat based on.
My role. I've done it forever.
It's all good, baby.
Well, OG, let's talk to you about the debt snowball method. She's like, why in the world would I use the debt snowball method? She said that she went for the biggest balance and the highest interest rate first. She's like, I wasn't dabbling. Go big or go home. I mean, when you got a lot of debt, go big or go home, she says.
Yeah. Well, you almost have to. And the reason for that whole debt snowball thing is all about behavior. and behavioral finance and getting a win and being happy with your progress and being able to see progress. I mean, imagine if you had a $2,000 credit card, a $20,000 credit card, and a $60,000, you know, student loan. And you said, well, the highest interest and highest balance is that $40,001. Even if you're whopping, you know, $1,000 a month on, you're not going to see a ton of progress. Whereas if you knocked out that credit card, you might kind of just get enough momentum to keep going. So that's the reason behind that. But if you are doing it from a purely math standpoint, and this is one of the things I agree with Dave Ramsey on, you know, if you were doing it for math to begin with, you probably wouldn't be in this situation. But if you're doing it from a math standpoint, yeah, you should go after the high interest. Get the biggest bang for your buck.
She then goes into the things that she likes. She says, even though I didn't listen to all their advice, I still listen to Dave Ramsey's podcast regularly and implemented my own version of his baby steps. Most important, she said, plugging into debt-free communities helped me to, number one, focus on just one debt at a time. I love this idea, Paula, of focusing, because I feel like in today's society, we think we can multitask and we're not that good at it.
Oh, yeah, we're terrible at it. I'm a big proponent of unitasking. So pick one thing, focus entirely on that. And when you've got that knocked out, move on to the next thing.
In fact, Paula's wearing her unitask right now, aren't you?
I knew you were going to crack that joke.
I'm a big fan of unitarding, but okay.
I'm riding a unicycle.
There it is. I'm going to stick with you for a second. She also says that she'd live like no one else. So that later I could live like
no one else.
That totally sounds.
I love that line.
Totally sounds like
when
you.
And that applies not just to paying off your debt, but also if you're trying to make an investment, if you're trying to max out a retirement account, if you're trying to buy your first rental property, anything that you're doing that is unusual, you do have to live like no one else so that later you can live like no one else. So that is a mindset that accompanies you throughout your entire life, regardless of what financial goal you're pursuing.
Len, I want to go to you with the next one, because she says, tell my money where to go so I didn't wonder where it went. It seems like you've always been really good at that. I mean, it sounds great, but how do you master that?
You got to have a plan. I've always been a big fan of long-term and short-term planning. And when you have a plan, you know exactly where things are going. It makes things so much easier. Now, if you're shotgunning, it's a lot harder to do. So have a plan.
Number four on here is evaluate what I need versus what was extra fat. OG, when you're working with clients, what is some of that extra fat you see people cut out?
My perspective on all of this is that it's unique to you as an individual, because what I think is really important in my life that's not extra is something that other people may look at and say, well, that's completely ridiculous. Why do you do that? I like to think about it from the other perspective of saying, well, here's how much you actually need to make the things that you want to have happen. So, you know, you need to save $2,000 a month. I don't care if that means you have to cut something or not, or make extra money, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But it's not up to me to tell you Sunday NFL ticket is not good. I enjoy that, and I'm going to pay the $300 a year to get it. Whereas other people might look at that and say, that's just, you know, really ridiculous. You know, you could invest that in a index fund and you'd have at least 1,000 in 25 years from now. So you're wasting money.
I thought you were going to say invest that in a trip to the casino.
Well, there's that as a great option, actually.
But invested in a racehorse. Yeah.
Exactly. In a roulette wheel.
She goes into, I just want to finish on this piece, rules of the debt game. She said that there's two parts of the game, a great offense, which is earn more money, and a great defense, spend less money. So she spent some time selling stuff, but she realized it was way easier to earn money than she thought it was. And that actually the key to this whole thing was earning more, which I found, Len, to be powerful. I feel like too many people shrink in their way to greatness instead of just figuring out how to make more money.
I know. And you know what? She gave some good examples here that I'm going to look at, you know, so you could be like a, you know, social media. I mean, there's social media manager, virtual administrative assistant, a freelance writer, which of course I knew that one, but online tutoring. Fantastic jobs. I'm going to go off and try and make some extra money on the side too. I had no idea that really it's that easy earning. She was earning $1,000 extra per month tapping a lot of these things. So,
Paula, you think earning more money beats frugaling?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, she makes the point in the article that when she tried to earn more just by virtue of selling some junk around her house. That brought in like $100. But when she applied herself towards earning more in big ways, you know, and she gave the example of tutoring kids in China who want to learn how to speak English. And they'll give you all the lesson plans. And it starts off by paying $20 an hour. I mean, if you think about that, and if you think about what an extra 10 hours a week could do, that's powerful. An extra $200 a week is a game changer for a lot of people. And in the beginning, the knee-jerk reaction can sometimes be, well, I don't have that time. But if you start with 1 hour a week and you work your way up from there, oftentimes you'll find it. Like you'll figure out how to carve it out. And yeah, you may not be able to catch movie references, you know, because you're not watching those anymore, but you are spending your time making extra money.
As if you were catching those in the first place.
Yeah, I was never catching those.
Right.
Never in a million years.
You know, it's funny when you say that. Actually, I just got distracted. Andy in the comments just said, you can make a nice living digging bunkers, Lynn.
It's that's another great idea. Thanks, Andy. I'll consider that.
That's absolutely fantastic. Lots of different ways to make money. I'm always surprised when people are trying to cut a little bit here, a little bit there out of their lifestyle instead of just finding ways to earn more money. I know what I was going to say, Paula. You and I both, you on the Afford Anything podcast, we did here. We both interviewed James Clear again for Atomic Habits. You know, when he talked about Atomic Habits, I love his idea of just adding a new habit on to something you already do. So when you talk about creating more time, just say, when I get finished with dinner, I automatically go work on my side hustle. Or when I, after I do my run in the morning, I automatically do my side hustle. Or you know what I mean? By attaching it, it's much more likely to stick.
Exactly. Yes. James Clear refers to this as habit stacking. And the notion behind it is that in order to form a new habit, you need a cue, an action, and then a reward. And so a lot of times when people are trying to form a new habit, their initial problem is that they don't have a specified cue. But if there's something that you do every day anyway, such as brushing your teeth or eating dinner, then that's your cue. For example, I make coffee every morning, and when the water is boiling, I hold plank on the floor. I can't hold plank the entire time the water's boiling. I'm still working up to that point. But when the water starts boiling, I drop to the floor and I hold plank for as long as I can hold it, which is not very long. And then I get up.
What the heck is hold plank? What is that?
You know, it's the plank position. It's like a push-up position, except instead of doing push-ups, you just hold at the top of the push-up.
Len, you've never done a plank before?
I've never done a push-up before either. You,
no, the push-up, that's the thing. That's the ice cream thing, isn't it? Where you push it.
So you're talking about, and you were talking about adding habits together. So like if I, you know, bite my fingernails while I'm cooking dinner, and then what comes after that?
If you drink wine, then you start smoking. It's a really natural.
Okay. All right. I got you. Okay. Very good.
I can see where this rabbit hole is going, so we should probably wrap it up. But biggest takeaway from this piece, Len, we'll start with you.
It's not a good offense. It's not a good defense. It's both a good offense and a good defense. So you want to cut spending where you can, but you also want to make money. You'll be best off by doing both, not concentrating on anyone.
Paula, your big takeaway from this piece?
That push-ups are a popsicle.
That's the best one. We're going to give the birthday boy the last word, though, OG. What's a big takeaway?
On the spot. I think that's you guys both had the good ones.
Come on, OG.
I'm not sure that this is a position of honor today so much. No, I really think my biggest takeaway here was, you know, just being intentional and being very intense about it. I like the fact that she said, hey, in 4 years, we're going to knock this out, and then just did it and said, I'll do whatever it takes to get it done.
Upstairs talking to Mom, Laran Amrani from Debitize. Paula, you're familiar with Debitize, aren't you?
I'm familiar with the name. I can't think off the top of my head what they do.
Well, you know what? We're about to find out together then, aren't we?
I suppose we are. It'll be an adventure.
It is fantastic. I told both of my kids, but I told my twins to use Debitize. I love Debitize for people that struggle. They have the money to, but they struggle to pay off their credit card bills in full, but they want to play the credit card reward game. And it only works, of course, if you do pay off your credit cards in full. So let's say hello let's say hello to Heya to Laurent Amrani from Devitize. And a guy that a lot of you know, but maybe some of you don't, on My Dad's Shortwave, Laurent Amrani from Debitize is here. How are you, man?
Hey, Joe. I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's been a while since we talked, and I know it was tough to get you, but you've had a bunch of big news at Debitize that I want to get to in just a second. But first of all, for the people that don't know what you guys do, both of my kids, by the way, use Debitize, so I don't think it gets a stronger endorsement than that. Tell everybody what Debitize is all about.
Absolutely. So at a high level, what we do is we let you use any credit card like a debit card, which means that you can connect your existing credit card, whether it's a Chase, Amex, Capital One card, to your checking account, and we'll set aside money every day to cover your purchases. That way you get all the perks of your credit card without worrying about debt, interest, or late fees.
And you've also done that in a way, I believe, that helps people's credit score.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, at a high level, paying your credit card off, every month is the best way to build credit. But the second largest component of your credit score is what's called your utilization, the percent of your credit line that you use. And we have a feature called Credit Optimizer, which keeps that low and can boost your credit score even more than just using your credit card on your own. And that's something we've actually been focusing on a lot in the past year. And the results we've seen have been absolutely amazing. We have one guy whose score has gone up 220 points.
Wow.
I'm meeting with a woman who works at Credit Karma, and her credit score went up in 100 points in 4 months using Debitize.
That's a strong number. That's pretty good. Unless it went from like 200 to 300, which I guess isn't that big a deal.
Hers, I don't know. The guy beforehand was 515 to 735, something like that.
Wow. So he goes from suboptimal credit to pretty damn good credit.
Yeah.
So people can learn more, by the way, about those features of Debitize at debitize.com, correct?
That's right.
You've got some big new news. You guys recently made an acquisition. Tell me about that.
We did. So there's a company called DebX, which was doing something very similar, led by a really talented founder who had a lot of success in the past. They had a slightly different business model that just wasn't really going to work long term for them. And so we partnered up and so joined forces. And our first acquisition, my first acquisition as a founder, which was exciting. And so Ben is sort of staying on board as an advisor. All the DebX users are more than welcome to sort of join Debitize. And we're really all focused on the same mission, which is helping you manage your expenses responsibly so you can stay out of debt and live debt-free while still enjoying all the perks that come with using a credit card.
How does this change the game for you, Laurent, or doesn't it change the game?
At a high level, it means we don't have to worry about another competitor for a little while longer. We also took a lot of technology that they had that we're not planning to use immediately, but certainly could be very valuable for us down the road as we think about what we want to do next.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. I know you guys aren't sitting still. What is next for Debitize?
We do have some exciting news for about half of our users that have been begging us for this for a while. We are working on an Android app. It's going really well. We're hoping to invite some of our users to help us beta test it within the next week or two. So it could be in the Play Store, within 1 to 2 months, maybe sooner, maybe longer, depending on how everything goes. But that's really exciting because it's been something that people have been asking for a long, long time. I think when we first came on your show, Joe, we didn't have an iOS app yet either. So
right.
I mean, that's something that we launched about a year ago, but then 3 months ago, we launched a completely new redesign, which has gotten very good reviews from our users. It's just much sleeker. It's got the information that people care about, right up front when they log in, and more functionality that was only available on the web before.
Are there any creative ways you've seen people use Debitize that you didn't expect?
Well, we have some people who have a ton of credit cards linked. We have one guy who's got 28 credit cards
linked.
Debitize. Yeah. For him and a few others that are like that, it's a way for them to just sort of stay on top of all those cards because, it's hard to, you have 28 bill reminders. If you call every single credit card company and have them set the due dates on the same day, so you only have to do it once a month, it's still 28 bills you have to log in and pay every month. So this just makes it just way simpler.
I just can't imagine I get the whole credit card hacking thing, but I don't understand the annual. I was talking to one credit card hacker about this and he couldn't even give me the number. And he hadn't considered it, but just the annual fees on those cards. you know, even if you have a zero balance most of the time, the annual fees on those cards, I don't know that the efficacy of having that many cards justifies it. I can't imagine.
I don't think so either. It definitely depends on the type of cards that you have. You know, I don't know the exact mix of his cards, but there's definitely a lot of store cards on there that I'm guessing don't have an annual fee.
Yeah.
But I'm with you on that. Yeah, I have, I think, one card that has an annual fee, and the rest of my cards have no annual fee.
Well, and talking about people raising their credit score, I know my kids are only about a year, one's a year and a half out of college, the other one's a year out of college. They've already been given credit increases. They're not eligible for reward cards they weren't eligible for before. And both of them started off with good habits by adding debitized to their credit card immediately out of college. And it's definitely made a difference. So that's another, I don't know, hometown testimony for
you guys, Laura. Thank you for that. We really love hearing those stories.
It is.
Makes it all worthwhile.
Well, it's really cool for dad to know my kids aren't getting into credit card debt also. So good stuff. And you know what? If people are out walking the dog or they're driving to work or whatever, we've got you covered. We'll have a link to Debitize in our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. Laron, thanks for hanging out with us for a few minutes. Good catching up.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for having me.
Welcome, Trivia Lovers. Here's a question for you. What does a few shipments of Fiji water, a couple of 72-ounce steaks, and handing over unlimited remote control authority to you-know-who have in common? If you guessed OG's diva list for his birthday, you'd be right. And even though he's divaing it up today, we're still going to make him compete against Len and Paula for today's trivia game. Today is Phileas Fogg's Win a Wager Day. So let's dial into the Jules Verne novel Around the World in 80 Days, shall we? In the book, Phileas famously bets the London Reform Club members that he can circumnavigate the globe in 80 days. After inflation, if Fogg had bet today, just exactly how many British pounds would the bet have been? I'll be back with the answer after I grab a slice of birthday cake from Joe's mom.
Phileas Fogg, which I'm sure Paula knows everything about Phileas Fogg.
I can't say that I do, no.
It's Jules Verne. It's not pop culture. It's Jules Verne.
I've never read the book Around the World in 80 Days. I'm familiar with the title. I know that it is a book.
She does know that it took approximately 80 days to get around the world. Yes. All right. So the score at this point, I believe Len is still winning by one. What the score is.
I'm not sure about that. Last I recall, it was tied.
I forgot.
He snuck one in last week.
I didn't have the official score sheet in front of me. So because of that, I forgot that OG had tied. And Paula's down by one, which means, Paula, you get to decide if you're going to guess first, in the middle, or last.
Clearly last.
Clearly.
Clearly.
Then OG got there just
now. Oh, I get to go last. All right, I have to go first.
I'm going
to
go second to last.
I have a question about the trivia question, though, because I also was not paying attention in any way, shape, or form to any of this. So did he said that there was a bet, which I understood from the iPad game Around the World.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic, choose your own adventure game.
Cool game.
It is great.
Really cool game.
Yeah.
Did he mention how much it was and or approximately when this alleged bet originally took place?
He mentioned neither.
Oh, God bless America. So I have no idea when this happened, nor how much it originally was.
It's a Jules Verne novel.
I love her expression of frustration. Oh, God bless America.
He wanted the inflation, what the bet was after inflation, right?
Yeah, what's the bet after inflation? So if he made the bet today.
What was the bet before inflation? And when was the bet?
We can't tell you.
This is a total.
It was Jules Verne. That's number one.
Doesn't help.
And then whatever you think the bet was, and then there you go.
This is a total crapshoot, OG.
Okay, I get to go first. How much was it? I say it was 1 million pounds.
1 million pounds.
In today's dollars. Adjusted for inflation over a period of time, an indeterminate amount of time.
Do you mean in today's pounds?
Carefully considered.
Well, no, it would be I'm sorry. I was thinking dollars. You're right, Paula. So I should do 643,911 pounds.
643,911 pounds. Len, you are next.
What was OG's?
$643,911.
$1 million.
$643,911.
So
should I say $643,912?
And if Paul
goes, oh. No, 911 and 1 pence.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. 643.
Because I think I know. I think I know where. No, you're not going to do that.
Oh, that's not in the spirit of the game. Let's say, I mean, you don't even know what the starting bet was. And I don't. I'm going to say 50,000 pounds.
50,000 pounds in today's money.
Yes. Oh, in today's money.
Yes.
50,000 pounds.
In today's money. Paula, we've got 50,000 pounds and 643,911 pounds.
Okay. My thinking on this is that today, flying around the world is commercially available to the middle class and very affordable. But back then, it was quite difficult to do and could only... So it might be the equivalent of like today taking a trip to the moon, like a recreational trip to the moon. So, and I don't know how much
Didn't
that cost either.
Did they have to use balloons back then?
Yeah, but the balloon industry was not regulated, so...
That's an that is an important factor in this
unregulated Zeppelin industry.
Complex trivia question.
So I'm guessing that it's the type of hobby that would only be available to a very well-heeled, like top 1% portion of society. And then if you're making a bet about it on top of that, then we're talking about extreme riches. So I'm going to go with, but it can't be too extreme because it has to be believable.
You realize we try to make this a 60-minute show and we never make it. And half of it is because Paula takes 6 years to make her guest.
I'm going to go with 1.5 million pounds.
1.5 million pounds. Don't you have to say it million pounds? Like it's a
million. Oscar.
Yes, exactly. All right. We got the guesses locked and loaded. Let's find out in just a second who our winner
is. Locked and loaded right now with the way Doug's feeling.
Who our winner is of this shindig. Well, how can you live a better life when you're working so much? Wondering where you can get some answers about the workplace from Wondery, the network behind Business Wars and Dirty John. Come Safe for Work, a podcast that's all about helping you find balance and happiness in your career and your life. After all, many of us spend more time with our coworkers and clients than our friends and family. Hosts Liz Dolan and Rico Gagliano give advice on everything from how to avoid burnout on the job to how to fake an illness when you're calling in sick. They also talk to experts about those moments at the office that can challenge the best of us, like negotiating raises, knowing when it's time to move on, or dealing with that annoying office mate with no boundaries. I can't tell you how happy I am to not be in a big office space anymore. I just remember the old days. Even at a company like American Express, you always had the weird guy. You had the people who dressed inappropriately. You had the dude who wore white dress shirts that were super thin and cheap and was very hairy underneath and wore no t-shirt. That was interesting. And sometimes the smells coming from the refrigerator. And it was nobody's, right? Nobody's stuff. So whether you work in an office or you're sitting here with Richie like I am, every episode's filled with helpful career advice that's lively and fun. Richie listens to Safe for Work just to figure out how to deal with me, I'm sure. helpful career advice, lively and fun, just like your work life should be. Go subscribe to Safe for Work on Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening to me right now. Steak and Benjamins is also supported by Magnify Money. You know, if you're somebody who's never been to Magnify Money, we're going to go there right now, like we do a few times a month. Stackybenjamins.com/Magnify Money. You can probably hear me typing it out. And here it comes. And let's take a look at savings accounts rates to give you the latest. You know, I saw Nick in a piece recently talking about how if you're getting less than 2% on your savings, you're really missing out. Sure enough, My Savings Direct coming in again in first at 2.4, Poplar Direct 2.36, VioBank 2.35, then CIT at 225 for a few more. And there's a good, I'm going to say 20 or 25 that are over 2%. So he's right. If you're getting less than 2% on your savings, you're definitely behind. StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money. Now, that's not all they do. You're somebody like me that pays off your credit cards in full. Well, you know what you should do? You should play the credit card reward game and take advantage of the fact that you're somebody that can take advantage of that game. Obviously, if you're not somebody who pays off your credit cards on time, you might want to opt for a balance transfer card or a personal loan and start paying less interest to the man while you're paying off your loans. But everything from cashback rewards to 0% credit cards to secured cards, CD rates, auto loans, small business loans, student loan refinance, it's all there. StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money tells Nick and the gang that we sent you. All right, we got our three guesses in on Phineas Fogg's bet. If it was in today's dollars, how much would the bet be? $643,911. I like that 911 on the end of OG's bet. You feeling pretty good about that 911?
I don't have any idea.
And then second, Len, you said in today's dollars, 50,000 pounds. So you're thinking it was like a, I don't know, $100 bet or a
realistic, right? I mean, it can't be some number that's so huge that it wouldn't have been payable, right? So that's why I said 50,000 pounds.
All right. And then Paula, you've got 1.5 million. Feeling pretty good?
I am.
All right. Yeah. Let's see who's got this, Doug.
Hey there, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And Joe's mom says no birthday cake until OG blows out the candles after the show. We're going to burn the house down, kids. Before I grab a fire extinguisher, let's get you today's trivia answer, shall we? In the book, Phileas famously bets the London Reform Club members that he can circumnavigate the globe in 80 days. After inflation, if Fogg had bet today, just exactly how many British pounds would the bet have been? Phileas Fogg made a bet of 20,000 British pounds in 1873, and after barely successfully completing his mission, that means he would have won, in today's dollars, roughly 2 million pounds. Speaking of pounds, I'm going to lose about 20 pounds waiting on this show to finish. Come on, boys, let's wrap it up. Let's get her done so I can have some cake, will ya? See ya!
Right. 20,000 pounds.
Yes, deep thinking for the win.
Oh, well.
Yeah, your first guess of a million was pretty close.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Would have helped to know the original bet and or the approximate time of the original bet.
It might have helped.
I need you to inflate a number that you don't know what it started with.
Guess a number
for an indeterminate amount of time.
Which just doesn't show none of us have read the book.
No. Well, that's what, maybe you need to turn over a new leaf, Len. Maybe it's about time to become a reader. I don't know.
Yeah, but not without consultation from Paula. She's the leaf expert.
She's totally ready. Is.
You mix them
I'm
all
I'm just up. Saying... Carefully thinking through the logic behind it does pay off. Now I'm going to go take my winnings and buy some birthday cake.
There it is. Hey, let's, we got a problem here because somebody must have called the wrong number because they asked us for help with their financial planning. Today's call is brought to you by The Stacker. We're rebooting The Stacker at the beginning of the year, 52 lessons of good money management tips. If you're somebody who's looking for something to learn, as you found out on this episode, you're not getting it here. So head to our newsletter, The Stacker, stackybenjamins.com/stacker. It comes every week. You can unsubscribe whenever you want. Mom, though, puts hers on the fridge. So just saying. Today's call for help comes from Tom Izzo. I love it. Yeah, Tom Izzo.
Hey guys, I'm looking to diversify my investments as well as develop some passive income. So I'm looking to get into real estate. So I was wondering if you could give me the pros and the cons of the different forms of real estate investing, such as REITs, crowdfunding rentals, and buying my own rental house and using a property manager. I guess I'm thinking that there's the potential for a possible housing bubble to burst possibly in the next couple of years, and just wondering if one of these would be less affected by that than others, or if there are other things I should consider. Thanks for your help.
You know, Len, I want to start with you first because he talks about a housing bubble. And I know that I've read in a lot of places that it's nowhere more pronounced in the United States than in the Los Angeles, well, maybe San Francisco, right? But in the LA area, you've got a heck of what a lot of people are thinking is a bubble. What do you think about his prediction that we might be in a bubble?
I think so. I think home prices are, they're pretty steamy right now. And here's the problem. It's interest rates, right? So interest rates have been climbing now for what, 2.5 years steadily.
Yeah.
And as interest rates rise, that means people's purchasing power on their mortgages goes down, right? Because you're paying a bigger percentage of your payment to the interest. Because that's when people who get mortgages, they shop payments. They buy a house based on payments. They don't buy a house based on cost. So that's kind of scary. Yeah, I think you got to be careful right now.
Paula, all kinds of different ways to buy real estate. I want to talk about this idea of with interest rates going up, house freeze happening. He talks about maybe, you know, my first thought was buying an individual house might be a way to get rid of some of that risk. But also you take on other risks when you buy just one property, don't you?
Well, so first of all, I want to kind of separate out. He's got two questions in there. And one question implicitly he asks, should speculation about what may or may not happen in the future influence the decisions that I make today? And if so, how? How do I apply that that projection to my current decisions? And then the other component of his question is, what form of real estate should I buy? So I want to address the first piece first, which is speculation about what may happen in the future. Now, it is true that interest rates are going up. However, historically, if you look at the correlation between increased interest rates and housing prices, like historically in the United States over the last 100 years, higher interest rates have not led to a stagnation or a decrease in home prices, which is counterintuitive. You would think that it would, but historically that just has not been how it's played out. And oftentimes that's because there are multiple factors that play into it, like how are wages, how are salaries, and, you know, not just how does that apply over the widest segment of the population, but also in key markets and in key areas and in industries. There are dozens and dozens of factors that play into a housing market. How tight are lending restrictions? Those types of questions. And all of those play a role in the number of people who are qualified to buy, the expense of home that they buy. So it's not as simple as looking at only two variables. More broadly, though, if you buy real estate not based on future appreciation, but rather based on current cash flow, then that inherently protects you, at least to a certain extent, from what may happen in the future. Any asset gains value in two ways, one being capital appreciation and the other being an income stream. So if you buy real estate, regardless of whether you are looking at crowdfunding or a REIT or owning a rental property directly, if you buy it based on the income stream rather than capital appreciation, that is the strategy that future-proofs you.
Yeah, then you don't have to worry about whether this is an up market, down market, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. He asked a very big question that really deserves an hour to answer. So I'm trying to compress this into a soundbite.
No, that's great, because I wanted to go to OG with another part of that question, which is REIT versus crowdfunding versus individual house. I know, OG, those all have different risks. What do you think about if he's going into real estate, one versus the other?
You know, I think that none of them are the right answer. None of them are the wrong answer. There's pros and cons to each one of them. Obviously, real estate investment trusts, REITs, publicly traded real estate, very liquid, money in, money out. But you also get the lowest level of cash flow out of it. Paula, to your point about buying real estate for investments, regardless of the type of investment that you're looking for, if you're buying something that's readily tradable, you're not going to get as much cash flow out of that. That's just how it's going to work. Obviously, you can look at something that's more crowdfunded or an individual property, and you're going to get better cash flows, but it's not as liquid. So there's the risk factors there. I'm kind of with what Paula said in terms of whether or not there's a housing crisis or, you know, bubble burst or whatever. Certainly in certain areas in our country, the Pacific Northwest comes to mind, the San Francisco area, LA, even where I live, housing prices have kind of flattened actually in the last 12 months. But from a big picture standpoint, people still have tons of credit power. There's low amounts of debt to income right now, which means that people haven't quite gotten it all out of their system yet. And even another number that I like to look at when just kind of thinking about this is the new housing starts. Where I live, there's tons of stuff popping up. But interestingly enough, it's still not yet back to the average that it was over the last 20 years, even with the huge run-up over the last 8 or so. So I think there's a lot more room to go there, but it's very local from a market standpoint. So there's no wrong way to do this, basically. Well, there is, not focus on cash flow. That's the wrong way to do it. But if you do it from a cash flow standpoint, return on investment.
Crowdfunding versus REIT directly. I want to address that one. Mm-hmm. But because I think that especially in our community, there's a lot of focus on crowdfunding. And I think that there's some risk there that people don't really think about versus a REIT that's professionally managed, SEC, you know, oversight on a REIT.
A lot more protection.
Yeah. Oh, gee. I mean, crowdfunding, real estate versus a REIT.
I'm not a big fan of the crowdfunding thing in general anyway. I mean, even something as simple as like a Kickstarter campaign where you always hear about the really cool ones like Peloton or something. And then you hear about the 30 of them that they just absconded with.
Don't work.
$80,000.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sorry, it didn't work. Too bad.
Yeah.
And I'd hate for that to happen at a larger scale. There's certainly plenty of reputable companies there, but a lot more due diligence that you're required to do than just going and buying a Vanguard REIT ETF.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of other people in your way.
That's what I think. Crowdfunding might be a much bigger reward, but also I think a lot more risk that people don't think about. Paula, what do you think about the crowdfunding REIT platforms?
Well, so I think that that's the wrong question. I think the first question that you want to ask yourself is, do I want to have a hybrid between a business and an investment, or do I want something that is sheer investment? Because when you own a rental property directly, it's a hybrid between a business and an investment. And the feature is also the bug. The feature is that you yourself get to make decisions that could improve the efficiency of the performance of that property such that you improve your returns. So you can buy an undervalued asset, make it more efficient, and raise the valuation of that asset by virtue of the decisions that you have made. And that's what's beautiful about it. That's the feature, but it is also the bug because that is inherently not as passive, particularly at the front end, as just throwing some money into a REIT and calling it a day, which you can do in 5 seconds and then forget about. When it comes to crowdfunding versus a rental property, fundamentally the question, because in crowdfunding, you're picking one particular property. So the question that you really want to ask yourself is, do I want to buy a fourplex by myself, solo, or do I want to be one of 25 people who is buying 100-plex, right? And that is your starting question.
But still, you don't know who you're in bed with. I mean, you don't know who your partners are.
In either case, you are... So with both crowdfunding and buying a property directly, in both cases, that's like the business investment hybrid, except that in crowdfunding, I mean, don't think of it as crowdfunding. Think of it as having a business partnership, right?
Yeah.
You've got a business partnership with 25 other bozos who are all going in on some apartment complex in Brooklyn, right? So do you know specifically about that block in Brooklyn? And do you think that an apartment complex with those types of conditions and layout, you know,
In that case, and in the case of the REIT, you're relying on the person leading it up to know what the hell they're doing. That's really the expertise you're relying on, because you might not know about that block, but in a REIT and in a crowdfunded piece of property, the person who put it together supposedly knows about what's going on in that block.
If you don't know about that block, then why would you put your money towards it? I mean, in the same way that if you don't know about a specific rental property that you're buying, you would never buy it. You're doing the same thing when you crowdfund. Like, the due diligence is still up to you. I think a lot of people have the misconception that if their money is in a larger pool of other investors' money, that frees them of the obligation to do any due diligence.
Yeah.
It does not.
Yeah. Len, thanks for all your help on this one. We went to one that was specifically in your wheelhouse
here. No, absolutely. No.
With real estate. Also, thanks to Tom for the question. If you've got a question for the show, head to stackybenjamins.com. At the top of the page, you'll see questions for the show. Click on that link. And you know what? Tom is taking home the Greatest Money Show on Earth t-shirt. So high five, Tom. Nice job. Mr. Izzo, not only coaching the Spartans OG in basketball, but he also has time to write us a letter.
And for those of you who think I'm playing games on my phone for the live studio audience, I'm actually, well, I was checking email for a second, but I was looking up the JP Morgan guide to the markets with for some data, which has got some really cool slides on there. So you can, we talk about that sometimes on the show. JP Morgan guide to the markets, really cool. 70 slides of economic data.
Yeah, some good stuff there. That's going to do it for today, guys. Len, what the heck's happening at lenpenzo.com?
Oh, you know what, Joe? Everything's happening. I don't have anything teed up for you today, but just come on by lenpenzo.com. If you like your Saturday weekly doom and gloom, come check out my black coffee and join the fellow doom and gloomers there. My fish sticks are starting to burn, though. I do smell them burning.
The fish sticks. And Paula... That's you say that like I think that's a euphemism. My fish sticks are burning.
Like, that's you might want to get that checked out.
Whole different deal.
Some ointment or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Paula, what's happening with your fish sticks over there at affordanything.com?
On the Afford Anything podcast, we have an interview with Bob Lodick about why and how he took a mini retirement. So he is not yet financially independent, but he decided that he wanted to take a 1 year mini retirement away from work. And he did. So he joins us on the Afford Anything podcast to talk about that.
That's awesome. NOG, happy birthday today. Thanks for coming in on your birthday, man.
It's always a game day.
What happens on OG's birthday at your house?
Well, there's lots of stories about the day where I had to make my own birthday cake because Mrs. OG worked all day. She loves that one. I have a video of it, which is really passive aggressive of me. You know me, Joe, well enough to know that I totally would do this. I made my own birthday cake, then set up a camera to record myself singing happy birthday to myself. And then sent the video. Poor guy. Yeah,
so that's that is so but, absolutely no, horrible.
We're gonna do a little dinner tonight. It's beginning of Christmas break for the children, so they're home from school. So babysitter for them. We're gonna do a little bit of din-din, and
that's awesome.
And have a fun weekend.
Well, happy birthday, mom. Why am I saying that birthday? Happy birthday, OG. What kind of issue is that when I'm calling you mom?
Freudian slip, yeah.
Yeah, I got no idea there.
So, it's like the dream that I told you I had.
That's a whole different story for another day. All right, we're out of here. Doug, take it from here, man. What should we have learned today?
So what did we learn today? First, getting out of debt and controlling your budget is fine, but making more money? Second, while earning more money is great, lifestyle creep that keeps you poor is not fun. Remember that the key to wealth is the difference between what you make and what you spend. What you keep is the most important metric. But the big lesson? Don't even try to say hello to OG on a day like today if you don't plan on bowing to him. What a diva! Special thanks to Liran Amrani for hanging out with us today. For more on Debitize, head to debitize.com. Paula Pant appears courtesy of affordanything.com. And special thanks to Len Penzo from lenpenzo.com. This show was created by Joe Salcihi, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Online, visit us on Twitter at SBenjaminsCast or on our Facebook page. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I swear the worst part about coming over to Joe's mom's house is having to put on pants. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor. And we love to kid OG, but happy birthday, man. I mean, cool, friendly, clever, and handsome. Enough about me. Here's a birthday toast to you, kid. Here you go, OG.
Did you hear that?
All right. And for those of you watching live, this is how we do it. Now we take a wine break.
For the record, for years, these guys all talked about drinking during recording, and I thought that they were joking. And then we actually started doing this by video, and it turned out they weren't joking. They're all drinking while they're recording, except for me. I am the token sober person.
Right. I am 100% sober today, too, Paula.
We did do my bike ride.
We did have one episode though, Paula, where we drove you to drinking.
That's true. There was one of the hundreds of episodes. There was one where by the end of it, I was like, all right, guys, I'm losing it. I'm pouring a glass of wine.
It's about time.
You're talking about one of those grass things you drink with the green vegetable gooky things.
Yeah. So a lot of times when they're all drinking on this recording and I want to be consuming a liquid, but not an alcohol, I'll make a spinach protein shake and then I'll just sit there drinking that while everybody else is having a beer.
It's so freaking, it's so gross. Kavita,
probiotic lemon.
It's so gross.
That sounds like the worst thing imaginable.
I don't know. Why do you poison yourself with that stuff?
I know.
Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout-out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout-out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who is in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership, and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers. So many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.